Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. In Central Texas, crews digging through piles of debris to try to locate the more than 160 people still missing after catastrophic flooding exactly a week ago. ABC's Trevor Ault has more from Kerrville, the city President Trump and the First Lady will be visiting this morning.
President Trump and the First Lady will be meeting with emergency responders and grieving families, and he will also likely face questions about the response to this tragedy. He so far only had praise for the government's response. He's referred to this flooding as a once in every 200 years. Event.
State Department firing more than 1,300 career diplomats and civil servants as a part of a reorganization plan announced earlier this year. Critics say it'll damage America's global leadership. State Department says it will streamline operations. 800 flight cancellations, 9,000 flight delays, all of it because of the weather in the Midwest. Most of those disruptions happening at O'Hare Airport. It's already said today's rain and lightning could also disrupt things. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The universities of Wisconsin will raise their undergraduate tuition for state residents following the approval of the plan by the Board of Regents on Thursday. The new plan released on Tuesday covers a 4% increase in tuition across the entire system and allows schools to add another 1% to their tuition rates. Officials say the tuition hikes are expected to generate nearly $50 million in additional revenue. Campuses in northwest Wisconsin will see tuition range from $9,200 in Superior to over $10,000 in Eau Claire. The Wisconsin State Patrol is advising residents that they will begin their Trooper in a Truck campaign next week. The yearly campaign partners State Patrol troopers with truckers and bus drivers for traffic enforcement. State Patrol troopers will ride along in the larger vehicles for a better vantage point to spot other cars that are speeding or driving recklessly. Like their aerial enforcement efforts, when the trooper in the truck or bus spots a dangerous driving infraction, they will radio for any nearby State Patrol vehicles to initiate a traffic stop. Ashland County officials say over 300 community members participated in their annual Clean Sweeps Hazardous Materials Collection event. According to a press release, volunteers at the event managed to assist the over 300 community members dispose of thousands of pounds of hazardous materials like old oil, antifreeze, and batteries in less than 4 hours. They also said the turnout for the event was about twice as high compared to last year, thanks to a new opportunity to dispose of items like appliances and other electronics. Officials from the Northern Waters Environmental School told the Hayward School Board they're planning to pursue a significant expansion project this week. In a meeting on Monday, officials from the charter school said they've outgrown their current space and are hoping to either expand their current building or build an entirely new one. The Hayward School Board is expected to consider the request at their July 21st meeting, which will include consideration of the cost of the expansion project and a fundraising campaign with potential naming rights on the table. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A buzzer beater for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports basketball. The NBA Summer League kicked off last night in Las Vegas. Teams getting a look at some of their youngest players. Milwaukee against Denver, down by two. Andre Jackson Jr. with a pass to the Bucks' Jamari Bouye, who moved to the right behind the three-point line on ESPN.
Jackson to inbound. He finds Bouye. Liddell all over him. The step over. He gets it up.
The Bucks over the Nuggets, 90-89. GM John Horst and Doc Rivers to introduce Miles Turner to the media, picked up in free agency from the Pacers. Baseball tonight in Milwaukee, the Brewers against the last place Nationals. The crew now just 2 games behind the Cubs, who beat the Twins yesterday 8-1, avoiding the sweep in Minnesota. Pete Crow Armstrong with 2 home runs, and former Brewer pitcher Colin Ray allowing just 1 run in 7 innings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a chance for a few scattered showers and thunderstorms today, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, thunderstorms likely, low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms early on, a little clearing in the afternoon with a high right around 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 65.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, Pete Schwabba.
Friday's show is a replay, but I'll be back live Monday with the group On Stage for Cancer performing in studio, and Madison film critic Rob Thomas talks movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's Friday. You can tell because he's got the Roy Kent mug, as always, on Fridays for the coffee. 8:06, nice to have you here up north on this Friday. It is July 11th. We're hoping to hear from Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who's out in Washington, D.C., for a meeting of a national group out there. We'll hear what they're saying about the state of health care in America, especially after the passage of Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill. Official name. It's trademarked. You can't copy it. And then in our 8:30 half hour, we'll talk to Mike Clemens about the Brewers and just the amazing climb that they've made from, you know, earlier in the season when it looked like they were going to be struggling with injuries throughout the course of the year. The bats were not scoring runners in scoring position. And now things are coming together very nicely. No guarantees, but why is that so? We'll talk to Mike Clemens about that coming up. I also mentioned earlier that there was going to be a rally at the Capitol today with folks upset about the state budget and the lack of support for childcare, for K-12 education, and more. I mentioned that it would be at the State Street entrance to the Capitol. But the weather could also be inclement, and we just received an update that says if it is raining too hard, they will start in the rotunda of the state capitol. And also they have a meeting room reserved as well, if need be. So even if the weather isn't great, there's still a chance for people who want to come and express their displeasure and want the legislature to do more. I mean, now that the state budget is done, it's not like they don't have to do any more work. They still get a paycheck. There are still expectations of them. They can still pass other bills that can help fund things, but there has to be the will to do it. Some of them are demanding a special session of the legislature to work on things like child care and increasing general school aids. And those and other topics will be discussed this morning, along with how else to keep these topics in the forefront of public discussion and not simply accept what they believe are crumbs and walk away. For them, there's more work to do, and that work is going to be done today at the state capitol, rain or shine. And it's the rain or shine part that brings in meteorologist Brittany Merlot to get us started on a weekend where you need to be aware of the rain part of it. We'll hope for the shine, but
The shine will be here on Sunday and Monday. There before that, yeah.
Okay, good. Because right now, I mean, how real is the threat of getting soaked in Madison this morning, for example?
Yeah, so this morning we've got a little bit of light rain trying to move its way into far, far southwest portions, but it is very light. They are light sprinkles and nothing really too crazy with those at the moment. What we're looking at is that front, though, that is sitting in northern Illinois, that downpoured on them last night. Obviously us too, but not nearly as bad. That thing is going to start to lift north, unfortunately. So as it does so, and as the heat and the peak of the day go on, we're going to start to see these storms firing up along that front. So it's going to go from Iowa, stretching all the way up towards Green Bay. I mean, we're going to still see a cold front behind that and instability sparking storms as far north as Superior, Wisconsin. So we're all in a risk today. The biggest risk for strong to severe storms that are going to pack maybe a tornado in rotation, maybe some large hail or gusty winds that could knock down trees. Storm Prediction Center has a slight risk pretty much from, I would say, Richland Center area through just south of Madison and in towards Milwaukee. So those places along the state line, very far south, need to stay very weather savvy, especially by 4 o'clock. I think that's when those are going to start to push in towards us. 6 o'clock, it kind of looks like it's towards Madison and shortly after into Milwaukee. And those continue through the evening, unfortunately. And like Pat had said, very heavy rainfall is possible. I'd say expect at least a half an inch, but obviously up to 3 inches could fall. It's going to be packing a punch. Flash flooding is a big concern, especially on city streets. Rivers could be rising. If you're in a floodplain, just take the precautions you can now. This is a very slow-moving front, and it's going to have a big punch with it. So there's a lot of instability and moisture that it can work with, and why that's such a risk and so much rain is falling with these. And it's not just south. I want to make that very clear. Up north, even central Wisconsin, Green Bay, for instance, you could still get a storm that could dump 1 to 3 inches on you. That can create flooding very fast. So stay weather savvy. Make sure you have a plan. Don't drive through flooded roads. Don't do it. It tends to wash out a lot of roads when this happens, and you don't know if the road's underneath you. So play it safe today. We do have chances for showers and storms sparking up again tomorrow afternoon too, but most of the day actually looks mainly dry. So those are just the pesky, evening summer storms as that cold front moves through. It shouldn't be too bad, hopefully. But then afterwards, as we go into Sunday, things calm down. The sun will be out. Temperatures actually comfortable in the low 80s with no humidity. Nice relaxing day to end the weekend before the heat cranks back up and the storms start to move back in early next week.
Yep, more heat on the way. Robin Tigerton says, when Brittany says weather savvy, it means the weather is very serious with heavy rains. We've got a decoder ring for Brittany Merlot now.
I love that, yes.
And Rob asks, will I get my 2 mowing jobs in the Tigerton area today after the grass dries? And he's asking that on behalf of everybody with a lawnmower, because there's that window, you know, the grass isn't dry yet. Okay, the grass is dry enough, but oh no, here comes the rain. And that might be a narrow to non-existent window in some places.
It's pretty narrow. Further north you are, you've got a little bit more time. And the latest model data is pushing this a little bit back. Just an hour ago, I was saying this is all going to start at 3. Now I'm saying 4. So there is a chance that you can squeeze this in. And of course, up north, widely scattered storms. So better chance for you.
Well, you know what? If you can't get the mowing in today, may I suggest making a lasagna? Tony asks us on YouTube.
That's a good point.
Are you aware of lasagna? Well, yes, we are, Tony, because this is July, and July is Lasagna Awareness Month.
Yes, it's back.
Where?
So be aware that if you can't mow your lawn, if it's a little wet out there, it might be lasagna making weather as part of Lasagna Awareness Month.
This is great.
I never dreamed I would turn this into a bit, but it's...
I can't believe we've kept it up this long.
It's just so stupid.
Day 11. You know,
it deserves to be elevated to the level of mockery, and we're there for that, especially since it keeps reminding me I really ought to make a lasagna one of these times. It's pretty good.
You know, that's true.
Good stuff. Good. Perfect. It's a good day for cooking indoors if you can't get out there. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Time to give away some Brewers tickets, or at least we hope to give them away to you, but it's going to start with you texting us a keyword as part of our free Ticket Friday. The keyword today is ball, B-A-L-L. You have to text that word in before 9 a.m. on the Civic Media app, and you'll be in the running in a statewide contest for 4 great tickets to Sunday afternoon's game against the Washington Nationals. If you don't have the Civic Media app, come on, get over to the Apple Store, Google Store, and then get that app downloaded. Find your station. Use the text button to text ball to be entered into this contest. And then there will be other chances to win throughout the day. Jane and Greg, Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, all part of Free Ticket Friday. And for Todd Alba, he'll be doing that from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, where he and I broadcast yesterday afternoon. And we'll do so again today from 2 to 4 during his show. And then we had a really nice time over at one of the beer gardens for a bit. Again, there was a little bit of rain, so you got this big old pavilion that you can sit underneath and have some conversations. No lasagna there at the fair, as far as I can tell, although Rob chimes in now that he bought his lasagna at Charlie's Country Market in Shawano on Wednesday. Parker, we're making a difference. People are buying lasagnas in July.
You know, it's moments like this that really make me think, wow, maybe what I am is really adding value to the world. When people buy lasagna.
I believe that you do add value.
I meant like the show, Pat, as a whole.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. We're again dealing with, you know, naughty people in the sandbox of comment sections today, and we just we have a little fun with them. So I mentioned that Todd will be at the fair today, so be sure you check that out. I'm sure you heard me a few minutes ago mention that Jim Santel will be a guest co-host for the Maggie Dawn Show starting at 4 o'clock. Later on Maggie's show, right around 5:50 or so, will be Terry Barr with What's Good, Local, and Overlooked. Terry has news of some libraries being built despite budget cuts, and also where you can see the only circus bell wagon in the world in Wisconsin in the summertime. So that's part of the Maggie Dawn Show. And, of course, following this program is, you know, the one, the only Matinair on Air with the one, the only Greg Bach and Jane Matinair. Greg was on earlier. We were talking about, you know, CPAP machines, and anybody who listens regularly knows that Greg started therapy on a CPAP machine a couple of months back and was not going to let me, you know, skate through all of this without having my own sleep apnea addressed. And so that started this week. So Greg was in earlier today to take a victory lap on that. And you can hear more from Greg and Jane. Following this program from 9 to 11, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will be joining Jane and Greg this morning just after the 10 o'clock news. And then Jane and Todd are hitting the road together next week. You've got Todd up here in Chippewa Falls right now, but Todd and Jane and Greg will be on the road next week with stops that include Oshkosh, Butternut, and Hayward for some big events that are going on around the state. And they're going to go over and take a look at them and talk to people who might be attending some of these events. And so you'll want to tune in to both Matinair on Air and the Todd Alba Show next week with all kinds of, I'm sure, stories of travel that they're going to want to share, the logistics of planning the lugging of equipment and bodies to get to all of these places. Also from Civic Media, the Wisconsin Forward podcast with Matt Rothschild. It is a weekly dive into a topic surrounding a current political problem in our state. Some background on how we got where we are today, what some folks are working on now, and possible ways forward. In one recent episode, for example, there was Bridging the Urban-Rural Divide, where Matt talked to Professor Kathy Kramer, author of the Wisconsin classic, The Politics of Resentment. In another episode, Matt gave a history of conservation in Wisconsin, what was once universally a bipartisan value. And he interviewed Tia Nelson, daughter of the late Senator and Earth Day founder Gaylord Nelson. So you can get a uniquely Wisconsin take on the big issues that are preventing progress and the people with the ideas to move us forward. So you can subscribe and download to Wisconsin Forward on Spotify, on Apple, and on the Civic Media website, which leads me into this shameless plug. You can podcast this show as well on Spotify or Apple or through the Civic Media website, where we are all the time playing, having back episodes. If you missed a guest, if you missed a topic, if you go back long enough to figure out how the heck did they start with this Lasagna Awareness Month thing and why, well, you can go back and listen to those back episodes and find out a bit more. Again, subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or at the Civic Media website. And one more note, of course, is our Sunday morning politics newsletter that I'll be writing up starting today for Sunday morning to keep people updated on what all happened this week. One of the big stories, of course, has been the reaction to the state budget that passed last week, as well as the Trump big bloated boondoggle, as more people are learning just what's in that turkey that passed in Washington, D.C., what's in the bill that passed in Madison, and what's missing from the bill. So I'll be writing some of that up, and you can become a subscriber to Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow by heading over to upnorthnewswi.com. We will continue with Mornings with Pat Kreitlow with a local update for some of you, and then in our 8:30 half hour, we will talk to Mike Clemens, and we will talk Brewers and more sports. That's all ahead here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Amery Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amery Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amery's south side, Amery Chevrolet is here when you need them.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. It is a Friday morning, July 11th. Nice to have you along here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. We have talked a lot about instances where usually it's the Trump administration, sometimes Republicans in Congress, doing things that you feel need to be called out. And I know I hear people, you know, out there saying, well, you know, what about Democrats when they do this? Well, look, we've talked about the instances of Democratic gerrymandering. And it's just not a case of two wrongs make a right. You need to call those things out, and you try to have a reform agenda that moves away from those kinds of things. Similarly, there was an instance in Madison that, you know, needs to be talked about so that it does not impact elections elsewhere in the future. A top elections official in Madison, according to the Wisconsin Elections Commission, acted unlawfully when she failed to ensure that nearly 200 absentee ballots were counted in the last presidential election. This from a story by Molly Beck and Hope Carnop of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, noting how now former Madison clerk Mary Beth Witzel-Bell refused to acknowledge significant errors in how the absentee ballots were handled and then did not take any action after learning that 193 ballots went uncounted and instead she went on vacation. A letter from the members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission says, quote, "This profound failure undermines public confidence in elections. It is essential that every voter knows that their properly cast ballot will be counted." It was the job of the city clerk to immediately take action once notified about the found ballots, and she did nothing. It was the responsibility of the deputy clerk to take action in her absence, and he did nothing. These ballots were treated as unimportant and a reconciliation nuisance rather than as the essential part of our democracy that they represent. This was the first time, as the article notes, that the Elections Commission has used its investigative authority. Ann Jacobs is the Democratic chair of the commission. Don Mills is the Republican-appointed commissioner, and both are attorneys and conducted the depositions in this case. And folks like to note that because this happened in the city of Madison, these 198 ballots that went uncounted, they were lost and then found, did not have any noticeable impact on the election results. That doesn't matter. These were 193 people still whose votes did not count. These are 193 ballots, the oversight of which damaged the integrity of elections in Wisconsin. And so it does not matter if it's in a deep blue city or a deep red county or anything like that. This kind of investigation shows the Wisconsin Elections Commission and its team at its best. And it is a commission that has its share of partisan squabbles, to be sure, and disagreements on how things should be run. But here's what you didn't see or hear as part of this. At no point did you have Democrats on the commission or Democrats writ large saying, this is a wild goose chase. This is a witch hunt. This is all politically motivated. This is partisan. As we often hear with another group of people who, when they are caught with their hand in the cookie jar, like to lash out instead at whoever it was that caught them. You know, the same can be said about the birthright citizenship case that we talked about earlier in the day. Again, there's no legal grounds on which to base any claim that birthright citizenship is not a valid part of the Constitution. And instead, what the Trump administration has done is attack the federal judge who this week turned that lawsuit into a class action matter. And again, couldn't talk about the merits of the case. In the case of these ballots in Madison, there was no circling of the wagons by Democrats or others in the city of Madison. This was so clearly wrong. And in this case, nobody tried to make it a case of partisanship. Said, let's do the investigation, let's do the depositions, and then let's put out the results. And let's put out the results so that, again, nobody thinks that they can get away with this in the future. This is why I'm still very upset at what's happening in Wausau, or rather, what's not happening in Wausau, where, unless I have missed something, there have still been no consequences for a mayor who just up on his own removed an absentee ballot drop box. Now, one that wasn't being used yet, one that wasn't even finished being set up yet, but because he didn't like the idea of the absentee ballot box being there, he just up and took it back to his office. And near as I can tell, they're still squabbling in the city of Wausau about whether there will be an elections board examination of this. I still haven't heard boo on whether any charges will ever be brought at a county or a state level. And again, I don't care if it's a $5 fine. I really don't. I do care if it's $0. I care if there's no record, because otherwise there will again be somebody that will take it upon themselves to either act outside the law, or in the case of the Madison city clerk, to neglect the law and say, well, that's no big deal. Consequences doesn't have to mean the electric chair, okay? Consequences just sometimes has to mean making it clear that you got caught, this is wrong, and let everybody know that something like this should not be happening again. That's what the Wisconsin Elections Commission did in this case, in a bipartisan manner, in a place where ballots didn't get counted and it didn't have an impact on the results here. But you really want to protect the integrity of making sure every ballot is counted in the future, because somewhere else in so many close elections around this state, it can make a world of difference. So I really want to applaud the Elections Commission for going forward on this one and making the record clear. We are going to be talking about sports with Mike Clemens coming up in just a bit and wrapping up our discussions here live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network for this Friday morning, July 11th. Back in a bit.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A coalition of e-cigarette distributors have filed a federal lawsuit against the state of Wisconsin over a law passed in 2023. The law officially went into effect on July 1st and imposes fines on organizations that make and sell products that are not authorized by the Food and Drug Administration. The lawsuit argues that the law violates the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, which gives the federal government the authority to regulate drug safety. The coalition is seeking a preliminary injunction to prevent the law from taking effect as the case moves forward. A new lawsuit seeking to redraw Wisconsin's congressional district maps prior to the 2026 midterm election was filed earlier this week. The new lawsuit was filed by a coalition of business leaders in Dane County Circuit Court just weeks after the Wisconsin Supreme Court declined to hear another lawsuit challenging the district maps. It argues that the anti-competitive gerrymandered maps violate the state constitution. Because the new lawsuit will not go directly before the state Supreme Court, it may not be resolved before the 2026 election. The American Red Cross is highlighting a number of blood donation events in the Northwest Wisconsin region over the next few weeks. Organization officials say keeping up with donation needs is particularly difficult during the summer months. They say hospitals across the country are specifically in need of more blood platelets and type O blood during this time of year, but donations of all kinds are needed as well. Blood drive events are currently scheduled in Cumberland, Barron, Chetek, Cameron, Rice Lake, and Eau Claire throughout the rest of July. Washburn County Highway crews are working on culvert replacements in the area where heavy rain washed out a number of roads near Bashaw Township last week. According to transportation officials, one culvert has already been replaced on County Highway B between Old County Highway B and Sawyer Creek Road. Another culvert replacement in the same area began on Wednesday and should be completed by Monday or Tuesday. Culverts on Cattle Road and Hector Dam Road are also being replaced, and repair work should wrap up by July 24th at the latest. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you thought it was hard to cancel a streaming subscription before, brace yourselves, because it's about to get even more difficult. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the Federal Trade Commission's click-to-cancel option has been struck down by a federal appeals court. The FTC has tried to make it equally as easy to cancel a subscription as it is to sign up, so expect much more frustration. The whole issue started with Amazon, which was accused of tricking customers into signing up for Prime, then making it extremely difficult to cancel. I guess we know how Bezos paid for that wedding. Here's a Hollywood beat just for me. I hope you like it too. The show Bosch is coming back by way of another spinoff. Ballard will drop on Amazon Prime like Bosch and Bosch Legacy did previously, both of which are now kaput. Maggie Q will play Renee Ballard. Titus Welliver will return as Harry Bosch, who will assist Ballard with cold cases from time to time. All 10 episodes of Ballard dropped a couple days ago and are available on Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a chance for a few scattered showers and thunderstorms today, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, thunderstorms likely, low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms early on, a little clearing in the afternoon with a high right around 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 65.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Next time, Todd continues live from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls, highlighting some great public educators and talking with filmmaker B.J. Hollers about his new documentary on the amazing game Coup. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Why, yes, it is Free Ticket Friday. Why do you ask? It's July 11th. It's a Friday, Free Ticket Friday, which means that if you are able to go to Sunday afternoon's game, Brewers against the Washington Nationals at American Family Field, and you want to be in the running for four great club-level seats to see the game on Sunday, well, we've got the thing for you, a statewide contest, Free Ticket Friday, where you use that Civic Media app, call up one of the stations, use the text button for that station, and text the keyword for our show this morning, which is BALL, B-A-L-L. You got to text it before 9 o'clock, before the end of the show, and you are in the running then for those tickets for Sunday afternoon's game, and there will be more chances to win throughout the course of the day here on the Civic Media Radio Network, so be listening in for those Brewers who are, I mean, red hot is a cliche, you know, getting out the brooms for a sweep, that's a cliche, but you know what? They apply because of what the Brewers did to the LA Dodgers, so let's bring in Mike Clemens with more about that. Mike, what could there be a more pleasant surprise this week than what we saw from the Brewers?
No, a tremendous growth period, you know, teaching moments for the young Brewers team. And by the way, you win those tickets, you get to see Freddie Peralta start on Sunday for the Brewers. No, you know, it starts with things like this. It starts with this Pat Murphy as a manager, as a guy who's pushing all the buttons of the people in there. Reese Hoskins jacks up his right hand, his left hand now, is in a big black, you know, one of those elastic casts because of a sprained thumb, and he'll be out now to like August. So do I put in Jake Bauer, or we got that Andrew Vaughn guy that we picked up from the White Sox who kind of went into a slump, and we got him in the trade for Aaron Civale, the guy didn't want to go to the bullpen, and so let's bring him in from Nashville, and then Pat decides, you know what, even though he got in here on the plane from Nashville like at 12:30 last night, he probably is not even really thinking about the Dodgers. Let's just put him in the game. And he ends up hitting a 3-run homer to get things started.
It was electric.
Against the Dodgers. Yeah, you know, and Yamamoto, you know, has to exit after two outs, one of their top pitchers. And then the big billing on TBS, on network TV, Jacob Mizorowski, the Miz, the 23-year-old against the veteran Clayton Kershaw. And after he gives up that opening home run to Shohei Ohtani, the $700 million player, who, by the way, that's a big dude. He's like 6'4", 210. He looks like an NFL quarterback. After that, the kid settles down and strikes out 12 Dodgers. And you see, I'm starting to see him fist pump after each inning, you know, until he gets to the sixth inning. Just incredible momentum. And then the veteran, Quintana, goes in there and locates that ball, gets through six innings, and the Brewer bats come in. So the one thing, Pat, that's still great for me in covering baseball is the access. You know, you walk into that Dodgers clubhouse, and that's more like walking into the Packers locker room. I mean, those are some big dudes, and a lot of them, like, you know, in their 30s or so. Like the Tyler Glasnow, who started for them, was a Wednesday. He's just coming back from a shoulder injury. And, you know, the Dodgers – bullpen has been, you know, messed up. They've had a lot of injuries, so that's one thing that's hurting them in this slump. But then you can go right into the manager's office, and so we're sitting down there with Dave Roberts, who, by the way, who said, you know, I'm not going back with the team. I'm going to stay here in Wisconsin. I've got an invite to go golfing tomorrow. So he went golfing and then took a private flight to San Francisco last night, where they're going to open up at the Giants. And I asked him, after getting just swept by the Brewers on Wednesday, what he thought about the Brewers Club.
Dave, was Milwaukee one of the more aggressive teams you faced this year on the base paths?
They are. You know, it's a team that prevents runs really well. They play defense really well, and offensively, they just create havoc. They steal, they bunt, they hit and run, they don't strike out much. You know, there's going to be balls in play. Pat does a good job with the roster as far as trying to maximize and create offense, you know, with that ball club.
I like that. And I like that he decided to stick around and play a little golf in Wisconsin. That was a nice commercial, not just for the Brewers that he just did, but for, you know, spending your off days here instead of jumping right back into the pressure cooker in San Francisco.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, you get these honest moments too, where he's like, hang on a second before those guys come in. He just takes the cap off and he's kind of massaging his scalp. Like, you know, now I get swept at home by the Astros, and now this, you know, and I need a break here. And, you know, here's another thing. I mean, Pat Murphy went into this week like, you know what, extra drills this week. Like, how come? Because you know something? I've been doing this long enough, and it's like these guys, they already start planning their vacations for the All-Star break. What are we doing? Their mind, their focus goes elsewhere. So he made them take extra, you know, drills in the field before those first two or three games in Milwaukee this week. Because he's such, you know, this guy is so good at pushing the buttons, you know, Pat Murphy. And and there's no question about it, Pat. When you go through that press box, when you go through that Brewer clubhouse before a game, you know, the void left by Bob Uecker, who is going around, all that experience, you know, kind of the grandfather role, making guys laugh and joke and all that. And there's a void there. And just by being himself, Murph has filled that. I mean, he's the boss now. Don't screw up Joey Ortiz and make bad decisions or you'll get benched for 2 days. And then he'll tell the press, yeah, he PO'd the manager.
You know? I mean, and he was not afraid to say that. And you really have to appreciate somebody of that caliber in any kind of a workplace. When I started in a newsroom at Channel 13 in Eau Claire, all the reporters are fresh out of school. They're all 20-something, but there was always that one guy. And for us, it was Dave Carlson, the Outdoors reporter. So this old crusty guy, and he didn't say much. And that was okay. You knew that he didn't look at you as a young screw-up if he paid you a compliment. And you wanted to earn that compliment. And I am positive that's how a lot of the Brewers players feel about Murph.
Right, and they look at a guy like, you know, I want a lifetime in baseball too, and this is a guy who's done it all, who's seen it all, and also has got a, you know, pretty good sense of humor, but he keeps it honest too. And I just found that, and I said, you know what, that void is being filled just naturally. It's not like Murph changed. It's just he's kind of stepped into that role. Because like you ask him about Trevor Megill, who's now going to get to go to the All-Star game since they're going to run Peralta on Sunday. And here's Megill. I mean, a kid who had to leave high school early, finished at a charter school, had Tommy John surgery as a kid, you know, into college, got drafted, bounced around the league. And the Brewers give him a second chance after his time with the Cubs. At 30 years old, Devin Williams has an injury. He gets a chance to be a closer, and now he's going to the All-Star game, which he is so excited about. He said, that was my personal goal this year at 31 years old. And then you ask Murphy, you know, Megill's kind of a, you know, tough guy, straightforward kind of a jock, competitor. But, you know, what's Megill like around the clubhouse, Murph?
You know what? He's given to the team. He's if you don't know him, he's a tremendous giver. You know what I mean? He gives a lot of himself, and he's got his ways about him. It takes a while to get to know him. He's been through a lot in life. He's way more mature than you give a normal kid his age credit. And he really just loves being part of something and being an important piece of something. And now that he's found this home, last year some, you know, he was a big part of it. But this year a lot, and he's given that responsibility. He loves it. So he's very, very grateful, very, very thankful. Yeah, I'm pumped for him, really pumped for him. There's a lot of deserving guys, you know, on our team, in my opinion. But I don't put the chess pieces together on who fits and who doesn't. Who was voted? I don't even know how it works. I don't want to know. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a great honor, but it isn't. It doesn't define you in any way.
I like that. I don't want to know. Just know that it's there. And Trevor Megill now becomes part of essentially a lineage of Brewers relievers who have made it to the All-Star game. I mean, the team is just well known for that, and we get to see him again now. Hopefully, playing in the All-Star game coming up next week.
Yeah, I know, like five or six in a row that the closers from Milwaukee, that have gone to the Midsummer Classic. So, there was a lot to learn this week. There was, like, to compare the Dodgers' performance at catcher, like Will Smith and the other guy, and like that one mistake where he tried to throw out a guy at third, overthrew the third baseman, and, you know, Frelick scores. Whereas Contreras, just with a gun, you know? Uh-huh. So at the end of the day, you know, this young Brewers club, and I know we've been seeing this for 20 years, the Brewers can get hot. They have these streaks in the spring. Then the All-Star break happens. And then a veteran team like the Dodgers, you know, they put their head down and they just start mowing people over in August and September. And they go, so that could happen. You know, that could probably happen again. But it's just between Pat Murphy getting everything he can out of this young ball club, and Matt Arnold, where does that GM keep on getting these guys from?
Yeah.
You know, it's just suddenly, you know, they're backed up at pitcher. It's just amazing that these guys that they pick up or you know, a pickup like Andrew Vaughn, you know.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about is here's Savali, who is like, well, I don't want to go to the bullpen, so trade me. And in what other world would a team call up the White Sox and say, here, we're going to ship this malcontent to the White Sox. Who you got for us and who they send us is ready from his first plate appearance.
Yeah, and last night the White Sox, like a two-hour delay, then they call it because of the rain delay. You know, they're the crummy last-place team, and that's where Savali is sitting right now. Hope you're enjoying your starting rotation job. You could be up here, you know, being a part of the team that just beat the Dodgers. And Shohei Ohtani, who's big dude, man. He looks like an NFL quarterback, 6'4", 209, $700 million. But, you know, the Brewers, they've got close to 200 people in their organization. They spend all their money on scouts to get these young players, as opposed to paying one guy $700 million. That's part of the reason that you keep on seeing these hot young 25-year-olds at the plate.
Yeah, I do have to kind of tweak Craig Counsell a bit, though, and maybe he would have said it differently, but when he was asked about his team, the Cubs, having the third best ERA, his quote was, I don't know that I've ever been able to manage a bullpen like this. And I love that people kind of jumped on it. It's like, hello, Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, Josh Hader, right. Devin Williams. He kind of had a little amnesia there, forgetting what it is that he left here in Milwaukee.
That's true. That would be true.
That's all right. Now, it's not the only thing that's happening here. Now, we're not going to get into football training camp yet. Don't get me wrong, but we are going to talk a little NBA here because there is a summer league. And, of course, all the offseason chatter that comes along with it. What's happening with the Bucks?
Well, we've been waiting all week to talk to John Horst. Remember, I was kind of complaining about the, you know, press conference during the draft gets canceled last minute. And the Bucks last night, they won a game over the Nuggets with a buzzer beater 90-89 with the young players out there. But about 7 o'clock last night, we get a press release. Hey, we're going to introduce Miles Turner, that guy we picked up for the Pacers in free agency that we surprised everybody about. And you'll get a chance to talk to John Hurst and Doc Rivers here in Las Vegas. So we get the notice at 7 o'clock last night. You know, I got Brewers to cover this weekend, and you had to RSVP by 10 o'clock this morning. So I haven't called Civic Media to see if we've got our company Learjet all fired up for me to run out there.
I believe Mathers is using it, we can maybe you can tag along on something like that. Well, that's a little mysterious.
So there might be two guys out there from the papers or the wires that can ask the questions, but we'll be listening back here at home on the network as we get ready for baseball. But they are going to introduce Miles Turner. And then obviously somebody out there from ESPN Water is going to say, and what does Giannis feel about all your moves? Right?
Of course. We've got to keep, you know, grist for the mill. Got to keep that going as well. So I think we'll have stuff to talk about next Friday as well. Mike Clemens, thank you so much. As always, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. Good to talk to you, man. We're going to have a local break for some of you here. Others are going to come on back here for some final news and notes from Lake Wissota. And one more reminder for Free Ticket Friday, the keyword to text us is BALL, B-A-L-L. Be in the running for 4 tickets for the Brewers game on Sunday afternoon. Back in a bit on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the Recombobulation Area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a three-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbrough, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026 for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here it is. Last call for Free Ticket Friday. This hour's keyword is ball, B-A-L-L. You got yourself about 6 minutes to text that to us through the Civic Media app. Be in the running in this statewide contest for four great tickets to Sunday afternoon's game, Brewers against the Washington Nationals. That series begins this evening, and you can catch it on several Civic Media radio stations. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:35 this evening. Got a text from Dr. Kristen Lyerly apologizing for not being able to break out of meetings in Washington, D.C. There's never an apology needed for that. I love the fact that she's out there. You know, she's only trying to like save women's health, trying to save rural health care, you know. And I'm like, no, come to our little radio show. You know?
I think she might have something better to do.
I wouldn't say better to do. Well, yeah, yes, I would. Yeah, I would say it was better to do.
I would say
but hopefully we'll talk to her Monday at 6:30. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in the meantime. This Oconomowoc school was converted into 55 apartment units with historic preservation. Parker, I don't know if you've seen apartments like this, but I remember seeing some in Madison as well, where they take an old school, they convert it into apartment buildings, complete with, you know, the hallway still has the lockers going down the hallway.
God, really?
Oh, yeah. In one of the units, two of the units, I think, you know, they took a gym and they basically divided it, and each half had like a loft. Huh. But then down below, your living room floor was the gym floor, and the basketball hoop is still up there. It's so funny.
I think my aunt lived in a school at one point that got converted into apartments.
There's blackboards in some of them still.
I didn't think it'd be that like lazy. I thought they'd kind of strip it all, and it was just like the building.
Don't get me wrong. The apartments are nice, you know, that with all the new appliances, and they do put in cabinetry and countertops and everything. And so, I mean, it's new apartments, but with parts of the old school building that are still there.
That's hilarious. I would love to get into one of those. That sounds actually really cool.
It was weird to tour it and go, okay, this is interesting, but would I want to live here? And you know, it's one thing if somebody invited you to their place and they had a party there.
That sounds like one of those hotels that you do for like the weekend and just go, this has got some novelty, sure.
Yes. But this would be your house all the time, your place to live. But anyway, in the Journal Sentinel, you can check that out and maybe let us know if you have something similar to that in your community as well. As I was talking to Todd Alba yesterday over dinner, it reminded me of a story. As we got talking about media and politics and, you know, how we all ended up in the places where we are now. And I was in journalism for the longest time, political journalism, before making the decision to run for office. And this was back in 2005, 2006. And I came back to a conversation from the fall of 1982, my freshman year in college at UW-Eau Claire, that helped, as Brittany Merlo likes to say, helped spark this decision. And it was meeting with an advisor. I was undeclared because I could not decide between political science or journalism. Which one did I want to pursue? Which one did I want to major in? And of course, they assign you an advisor. Well, my faculty advisor was a political science instructor, professor. I think he later went on to become a chair of the political science department. But at the time, I was taking a political science course with him. I'm sure it was Poli-Sci 101. And he did a great job of setting me down and saying, well, you know, tell me about yourself. Tell me what you want to do. Tell me how you approach things and everything. And he listened to me. And at the end, I thought he would say, well, okay, good luck with your decision. And instead he says, you need to go into journalism, not politics. He said, the reason why is it's very clear from listening to you, you know, you want to see both sides or all sides of every story. And that's what journalism is, you know, asking questions and figuring out the whole well-roundedness of any given story. Whereas in politics, you know, you got to pick a path and you stick with that path and it's all or nothing. And you got to, you know, dedicate yourself to that. And I thought, okay, that makes sense. And I pursued it. And thanks to great instructors like Henry Lippold and others, I went on to have a nice little career in radio and then TV. But at some point, as I was watching the political scene, I got to thinking about what he said about, you know, being single-minded versus seeing all sides. And I thought, well, what the heck is wrong with that in politics? Why wouldn't you want somebody who wants to look at all sides and then try to find the best path forward? And I had no idea if somebody who'd only worked in a newsroom could go into electoral politics. I mean, others have, don't get me wrong, but I didn't know if it was going to work for me. Well, it did. It led to a state Senate campaign and winning that race narrowly and being a state senator for 4 years. And it was, you know, four of the greatest years, most professional enjoyment that I got. And in large part, it was because you can still have your principles, you can still have your values, which in my case are left of center, but you can talk to people who are right of center and you can find that common ground where, you know, well, we're not going to agree on this, but if we both agree to go down this path, we can maybe make things a little bit better. We can create some jobs or we can provide some tax relief or whatever the case may be. The biggest one for the session, my first session there, was the smoking ban debate and whether to have a smoking ban or not. And again, it was a matter of, that was not a Democratic or a Republican issue. It was hearing all sides from small business, from health advocates, and finding the right path forward. Some people wanted to do it in like 4 weeks. We ended up doing it like a like an 18-month phase-in or something like that, so that it was fair to the small businesses that wanted to make adjustments. I think we need more of that. We need more of these well-rounded conversations. And so I'm glad I made the jump from journalism into politics and now back to political journalism. And I hope other people thinking about 2026 will consider that as well, as they look for maybe giving us the next generation of leaders here in Wisconsin. My thanks to all of today's guests, of course, and to Parker Olson and Brittany Merlot and you for being here today. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. Have a great weekend. We'll be back here Monday morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump visiting Central Texas today to assess catastrophic flooding that's killed 121 people. The visit coming as people slowly go back to their homes or what's left of them and tell stories of survival.
Residents begin returning with those deadly waters now receded. One couple surviving by hanging onto a pillar just outside their door.
We just held on for a couple more hours. Yeah.
Finding their wedding rings in the debris.
ABC's Trevor Ault in Kerrville, Texas. A number of people unaccounted for, more than 160. Another barrage of Russian drones targeting Kharkiv region of Ukraine. 9 people injured and a maternity hospital in Ukraine's second largest city was hit. This strike, one of a string of strong attacks this week. 1,300 State Department employees, including career diplomats, being let go as of today. State Department calls it a reorganization effort. Stock futures pointing down today after the president announced another round of tariffs for Canada, 35%, kicking in on August 1st. This is a